In the name of Jesus, amen. They will do things to you because they have not known the Father nor me. He says they will do things to you. But this is not Jesus entitling the 12 or anyone to a persecution complex where I get to whine to my friends at how beastly life is at my locale despite my most heroic efforts as pastor. Don't become too proud of yourself. It is oxymoronic to Christ's office of humility. Likewise, I dare not identify the suffering I brought on myself with Christ's sufferings. But Jesus is making a promise to those who bear witness with the Spirit's witness to him. You will be persecuted. You will be put out of the synagogues as fast as that man born blind or anyone who confesses the realities of God in flesh to people wiser or more religious than that. And what's more, the time is coming, he says, that whoever kills you will think that he offers God service. That's an especially nasty kind of works righteousness. And all this not outside the church, but in her midst. The most strident enemies of Christ can come from within the church, where people want to do their own synagogue thing and offer God's service of their own choosing. A messy, frustrating, suffering business. That's your guarantee as you bring Christ to a world convicted of sin. In fact, after 4 years of study, that's what Concordia Theological Seminary can offer you with absolute certainty. I don't blame them for not putting it in the brochure. The persecution that Christ guarantees to his apostles, and so in measure to any whom he wishes to call and ordain. Not to paint too bleak a picture, because it always isn't always like that, but there is that. There is Christ doing his works in the church, doing the works no one else has done, that will bring wrath down on you, the closest thing. Hearing Jesus say, "If the world hates you, you know that they hated me first," tends to blow apart our fondly held myths of the joys of the ministry. But he says, "If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. And if they kept my word, they will keep yours also." So closely is the apostolic messenger bound up with Christ. For it's after the ascension of our Lord now, it has come true. They will do it to you. They will do it for Jesus' sake to you, because they do not know him or the one who sent him. A serious charge to lay, that even well-meaning, sincere, and nice folk may not rightly know the Father or the Son. Not knowing the Father, so not being able to know the Son, God in flesh, God in water, God on the altar, or not being as interested in these things as you're so sure they're supposed to be. And so you will bear witness, the identical witness of the Helper, the Comforter. It's the Holy Spirit's sermon. Christ sends him from the Father, and the Spirit does this. He testifies of Christ. He extols Christ's works. He hovers over the font and creates a holy bride for Christ from water and word. He's given at the shout of "It is finished," with the blood from Jesus' side that overflows the chalice for drinking, where forgiveness is, where Christ is. He's given in Jesus' breath to frighten disciples in the upper room, to forgive sins on earth, because from now on, it's Easter. The Spirit of truth comes to testify of the Christ who came and spoke, Christ who did, Christ who is doing the works among us that no one else does. And for this, some hate him. And so his promise, these things they will do to you. because they have not known the Father nor the Son. But the Helper comes. Jesus sends him from the Father, proceeding from the Father and the Son for the church. So things aren't as terrifying when they put you out or if they try to kill you. After all, I have spoken to you that you should not be made to stumble. But I am made to stumble. I am stumbling over the Spirit's witness. I am offended by Christ and the weakness with which he works the works of the Father on the cross and in bread and wine. I am scandalized that God became a curse and that he died. Everything I vowed at ordination to not be scandalized by. I'll want to give it up just to make the problems go away. Or perhaps I'll revert to obnoxious form and I'll shout more loudly and more belligerently to cover my mistakes while pointing out what a perfect angel I've been. What am I accomplishing with this preaching, I wonder? Maybe it isn't enough. Maybe better to substitute some babble or some shtick. Take Christ off the altar. Say, he is nothing, and he does nothing at all. Don't. For Christ has done the works. And they may strike at him and his continued presence by striking at you, because he has ascended. But he who by descending to earth did not leave the Father has not left us by ascending to heaven. In fact, he is now more widely known, and his works, your salvation, is brought even closer, baptism close, preaching close, altar close. What was visible in Christ is now veiled in the width and the length and the depth and the height of his mysteries. Bear witness to that, that his love has become even more wonderful because he has ascended to the Father, not to abandon you, but that you might touch him more perfectly and more truly. For you know and you believe and you taste what you can't even see. For the Spirit bears witness, and you, by that Spirit, will bear witness. You will point to Christ and water and blood, so that those who do not see are given sight and believe. And we are changed from cowardice to confidence. And the tongues of so many that were deniers, even enemies, even you, are converted to the praise of Christ. Brought close here, where heaven is opened by his forgiveness. These things I have told you, that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you of them. Amen.